Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The last time we were together, we were studying Luke chapter 14 and verses 1 to 24 under the title, The Great Banquet. As we studied this text, we saw several kinds of guests that illustrate the importance of our choices on our eternal destiny. Now, as we resume our study, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 14 and verses 1 to 24. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you, and him, come and say to you, Give place to this man. Then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, Friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, A certain man gave a great supper, and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed, and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, that none of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper. Now, as Jesus finishes speaking, one of the guests said, Blessed is the one who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Blessed is the word happy, the same word used in the Beatitudes of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. This pious remark, whether it was ignorant or hypocritical, was brought forth by Christ's words about the resurrection. It was a common figure among the rabbis, the use of a banquet for the bliss of heaven. This man probably saw the banquet as a prerogative of the Pharisees and assumed complacently that he would be among the number of the blessed. Jesus uses his conversational remark to tell a parable illustrating the final kind of guests. The final kind of guests are the excuseless ones. Jesus tells about a certain man who is making preparations for a great banquet. Because it was a great banquet, there were many people who were invited. The question is, who were these invitees? Well, who were the first people invited to partake of the kingdom of God? It was the Jewish people. Remember, I said earlier that many of the Jewish people believed Messiah's kingdom would be inaugurated by a meal. They would have seen Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 6 in particular as describing this kingdom meal. It says, "On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined." That's the English Standard Version. This may well be what the guest pictured as he spoke about the blessing of eating bread in the kingdom. Now, regarding the meal, it was customary in that day for two invitations to be given. The first was a preliminary general invitation. The specific time would be announced later, once the preparations were complete. And this is what we see happening in verse 17. The servant goes out to those who had already accepted the general invitation to tell them that everything is ready and they should come now. But as we'll see, they made excuses, invalid ones I might add, and they refused to come. This was a serious breach of cultural etiquette. Now notice what happened. They all began to offer excuses. We only have three examples, but they're representative of the nation of Israel as a whole. These three excuses correspond to the seed which fell among thorns, as described by Jesus in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. The first person said, "I've bought a piece of land, and I must really go and inspect it. Please excuse me." Here, the cares of this world were choking out the good seed, and there would be no harvest. But really, who would buy a piece of property without first examining it? And not only that, wouldn't the piece of land be there tomorrow or the next day? This is why I've referred to these guests as the excuseless ones. They really don't have a legitimate reason for not attending. The next one said, "I've bought a yoke of oxen, and I must go and prove them. Please excuse me." Again, who would make such a major purchase without doing the testing first? It makes no sense. And besides, the oxen would most likely not run away or be stolen if he had waited another day or so to finalize the deal. Here, the deceitfulness of riches has captured the man's attention, ensuring that no fruit will be produced. And then the final example is the one who says, "I've just gotten married, so I can't come." Now, I guess in a sense, this man had the most plausible excuse. According to Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 5, a newly married man was permitted special treatment. He wasn't required to go out for battle or to be charged with any business during the first year of his marriage. But how a dinner invitation would violate that command is beyond me. In fact, most brides I've known would be delighted to accompany their new husband to a banquet. Notice with me that even though this man had the most plausible excuse, his response was the rudest of them all. He didn't say, "Please excuse me." He just said, "I can't come." The pleasures of life would cost this man entrance into the kingdom. Now, there's a common denominator in all these excuses. These people did not say they would not come eventually. They just said they couldn't come now. They saw their current business as more pressing or more profitable than what they would gain by responding to the invitation. But they forgot one very important fact. If you don't come when the banquet is ready, you don't get in. Jesus had just warned them about this very thing in the previous chapter, chapter 13, verses 24 to 28. So the servant returns and he tells the master what has happened. Master's anger illustrates the sincerity of his invitation He is slighted by the insult of those who said they would come and have now refused. So the master commands the servant, "The food is ready, and there's no time to lose. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind." Notice the invitees are still in the city. They're still part of the Jewish nation. But they were the common people, those that Jesus' audience would have looked down upon. When these were all gathered, the servant once again approached the master and said, "Your command has been carried out, and yet there is still room for more guests." The Lord responded, "Go out into the highways and hedges and constrain them to come in so my house may be filled." I like Jesus' emphasis on my house. Now, the invitation goes to the heathen, the goyim, those who knew they were not worthy to be invited to such a feast. The master told his servant to constrain or persuade them, help them to understand it is the right thing to do. You see, this group of people would need persuasion to help them overcome two difficulties that would have existed in their minds. First, they would not see themselves as worthy company for such a feast. Second, they would not have a suitable garment, and certainly were not acceptable in their regular clothing. My friend, the Gentiles were being offered what the Jews had refused. And Jesus made it clear the banquet would be furnished with guests. And then those final words of judgment. Jesus said, "None of those men who were invited and made excuses shall so much as even taste of my supper." Again, Jesus' use of the word "my" personalizes the meal. The time would come when those who refused the invitation would gladly give everything for another opportunity. Where do you find yourself in Jesus' narrative? Are you one of the excluded ones? Do you know instinctively that you're not worthy? If so, there's hope for you. You're just the kind of person Jesus invites to his supper. Or perhaps you see yourself as one of the exclusive guests. You refuse to mingle with the rabble, the riffraff, or the lowlifes. You don't want yourself or your family to become soiled with the sin of these people. You think you're pretty good, and you deserve a seat at the table, even a prominent one. Or maybe you're one of the excuseless ones. Oh, you have your excuses, all right. I'm too busy to think about eternal things now. I'll take care of that later. Or, I've got to make a living somehow, and that takes all the time I have. Someday I'll have more time, and then I'll accept Jesus' invitation. Friend, if you find yourself in either of these last two kinds of guests, you are in grave danger of being forever excluded from the great banquet, from the presence of the Lord Jesus. So let me urge you today, make sure you have a reservation for that great banquet. My friend, were you blessed by this study? If you'd like an audio CD or printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Great Banquet. Now, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Great Banquet. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in Luke chapter 14. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.